this week's parsha of Parshas B'Shalach has many different themes, many different ideas found within the parsha. Perhaps the climax of the parsha, the major theme of the parsha, hence the name of the Shabbat, Shabbat Shira, is the Jews who, upon leaving Egypt, are chased soon afterwards by the Egyptians, encounter the Yam Suf, encounter the Sea of Reeds. Kadosh Baruch Hu does the great miracle of splitting the sea. Klai Yisrael able to walk through by Yabasha in dry land. Medrash tells us with a lot of miracles that occurred. The Egyptians, who are hot on their pursuit, drown within the water. And we have the famous Az Yashir, the Shira Sayam, the song of gratitude that we Klai Yisrael sang to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we sing every day to remind ourselves of the Yeshua Hashem, the constant salvation that happens within our lives as well. The Torah then records different incidences that happened to Klai Yisrael after splitting of the sea, where they went to Marah, there was bitter water, after a period of time, 3 days, where they had no water. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu to throw a tree into the water to make the bitter water sweet, and there a number of mitzvot were given to the Jews. We have the story of the man that was given to the Jews, the bread from heaven, the slav, the birds, the quails that were given in the evening time, and we have the story of Marah, of Masa Meriva, the story of Klai Yisrael needed water. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to hit the rock and indeed gave them water. And the parsha ends with the Melchamas Amalek, the war with Amalek. I'd like to focus in on the part of the parsha dealing with the man, with a very directed focus today of speaking about the interrelationship between the man and Shabbos. We know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klai Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klai Yisrael about the man. So part and parcel, the instructions with the man of not to leave anything over for the next morning is the instruction that on Friday they will receive a double portion so that they will be able to have enough not only for Friday but for Shabbat as well. That when they came home, they saw that they had more than they needed for one day and it was able to last for 2 days, for Friday as well as Shabbat. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu goes into detail about the concept of Shabbos. He says, eat it today, for today is Shabbat for Hashem. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but the seventh day is the Shabbat. On it there will be none. And it happened on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather. They did not find. Hashem says to Moshe, how long will you refuse to observe my commandments and my teachings? See that Hashem has given you the Shabbat. That is why he gives you on the sixth day a 2 day portion of bread. And we until today remind ourselves of this by having the Lech HaMishneh, the double portion of challah on Shabbat. Let every man remain in his place, the Torah tells us. Let no man leave his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day. And that's in itself an interesting expression of every individual resting, remaining where they are on the seventh day. And looking at this section, question that Sifti Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander's Atzal raises, and it's a basic question that we need to understand, is, are the laws of Shabbos placed here in connection with the man purely coincidental? Purely because we have a reality called the man, which came down from heaven, and the people had to know when they were to eat it and how they were to gather it, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu adds in the laws of the Shabbos? Or is there an intrinsic connection between the concept of Shabbos and the concept of the man? Are they somehow integrally connected? I'd like to try to argue today, or present today, is two approaches where indeed you find that the man, the concept of man and the concept of Shabbos, and there's a lot to be said, these are two approaches, are really intrinsically connected one with each other, and there's a reason why there's such a great focus on the aspect of Shabbos connected with the law of the man, that special heavenly food that could taste like anything you wanted to, that was completely absorbed by the human body, there was no waste. It was a food that a person, no matter how much they gathered, when they came home, they got it evened out to the exact amount that they needed. If they took too little, it became too much. If they took too much, it lessened. All of these has a connection with the concept of Shabbos. where one sees this inner connection between Shabbos and the man is in a very, very difficult Rashi, very interesting Rashi, the beginning of the book of Bereishit. Rashi quoting Chazal on the verse when the pasuk tells us that the seventh day God completed his work, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he abstained from all his work which he had created to make. We find in the creation story, in talking about the creation of Shabbos, the Torah tells us, Vayivarech et Yom HaShvi'i Vayikadesh Oso. Hashem Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day, as well as he sanctified it. So says Rashi, what does it mean, Vayivarech, that Hashem Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day? How did he bless it? Rashi, based on Chazal, say, Bercho Baman, he blessed it in respect to the manna, Shekol Yemot HaShavua Yarad Lahem Omer LeGugolet, because every day of the week only one Omer, one amount fell per person, Ubashishi Lecha Mishneh, and on the sixth day a double portion fell. So that's the bracha. The bracha is that there was a double portion of man on the sixth day in honor of the Shabbat. Continues Rashi, Vikidasho, and how was he Mekadesh, how did God sanctify Shabbat? But man, also the man, Shelo Yered Klal B'Shabbat, that the man would not fall at all on the Shabbat. Look at this Rashi, and we're struck by a very basic question. This is the definition of the bracha of Shabbos, of the Kedusha of Shabbos, is that there was a double portion of man, and the man didn't fall on Shabbos. Is not Torah Nitzchius, is not Torah eternal? Well, where was the bracha before the man happened, and where is the bracha after the man happened? I mean, Sach HaKol, in all total, the man fell for 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the desert. For the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, that is the great bracha of the man, of Shabbos. The bracha of Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos is connected to the man. It seems to be so narrow. It seems to be a very narrow definition. As in the Siva Shalom, we know, Hareya Tarak Toshai Nitzchius, Vabracha Nitzchius. Isn't the Torah eternal? The bracha is eternal. And the Ilu Haman Kol Mitzuto Aitarak Arim Shana Bamidbar Bilvad. And the Jewish people only had man for 40 years in the desert. How are we to understand that the bracha and the kedusha of Shabbos is connected with the concept called man, with the whole understanding of what the man is about, so that even before there was man, and even after there is no longer man, the message of the man is the message of Shabbos? Let's first try to understand a little bit deeper, according to level number one, what Shabbos is about, and then have an understanding of how this is really what the message of the man was trying to teach us. The Sifte Chaim notes that the Torah, in describing Shabbos, usually connects Shabbos as the culmination of the week. And the Torah very often will say, one example is the Aseres HaDibros, of Shesha Jamim Ta'avod, 6 days you shall work, Vasita Kom Lachtecha, and you should do all of your work, V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbat LaShem Elokecha, and on the seventh day you should rest, it's a day for Kadosh Baruch Hu, for God. So if you take a look at this phrase, it's an obvious question. 6 days you shall work, I can understand that. But the next phrase is very difficult. The asita kol melachtecha, you are able, command, and you shall do all of your work. Is this possible? Is it possible for an individual to do all of their work in 6 days? I mean, work is a lifetime. Projects run on for a lifetime. What does the Torah mean? The asita kol melachtecha, you should do all of your work. Not you should do your work, but there's a concept of completion here. How is it possible by the time Shabbos comes that a person should do all their work? Rashi, based on Chazal, sensitive to this, answers the following and says, Kishitavo Shabbat, when Shabbat comes, Yehei Be'enecha, it should be in one's eyes, Ki'ilu Kol Melachtecha Asuya, as if all your work has been done, Shelo Taharher Archar Melacha, that you shouldn't think about what you have left to do. So explains Rashi, what does it mean you should do all your work? It means that your mindset should be that you should look at it as if all of your work has been accomplished. And if all of your work has been accomplished, so therefore you can come into Shabbos with the feeling of I've done it all. So this too is a difficult Rashi. Psychologically, how is it possible for a person who realistically knows deadlines have not been met, who realistically know projects have not been finished, how are we to understand that a person should try to fool themselves and say, oh, you should look at it as if it's done. Reality is it's not done. Reality is it's sitting on my desk and waiting for me next week too. So what does it mean that you should look at it as if all the work is done? I'll just mention one approach, which we're not going to work through today, but at least to hear different answers, the approach of Rav Dessler, where he says this is a spiritual level which is not easy to attain. How can one help thinking about the multitudes of things left unfinished which still have to be attended to in the coming week? But Shabbat represents the higher level knowledge that God is to charge and that, in essence, there's nothing to worry about. One can be so immersed in the sanctity of Shabbat that one has no more room in one's mind for the important business deal that was pending when Shabbat came in. All mundane matters shrink into insignificance compared to a tremendous holiness of Shabbat. They are, after all, only the means to an end, while Shabbat is an end in itself, the spiritual goal of all creation. So one approach, the approach of Rav Dessler, and he himself admits it's a very high approach, very great spiritual level, is that if a person is so immersed in Shabbat, is so immersed in the Kedushat HaShabbat, the holiness of Shabbat, so that everything else shrinks into perspective, and how can you even focus on the means to the end when you're so involved in the end, this lofty level of Shabbat? That's one approach. I'd like to present another approach, which is directly connected, as we'll see, to the man. We know, in looking at this world, in looking at the concept of working, of Sheshes Yamim Tavod, of 6 days of working, so we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the Bria's Olam, the creation of the world, was not a one-time event where God created the world and He left and that was it. But rather the Bria's Olam, the creation of the world, is a constant process that's going on continually. As he quotes the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim of Volozhin, he says, Kein me'az kol yom v'chol rega mamash, just as it was every moment now, kol koach v'tziutam v'sidram v'kiumam, all things that exist in this world, talui rak b'mash shehu, yisparach shmo mashpia b'hem b'irtzono yisparach, kol rega koach v'shba'at or chadash. The fact that anything is around is because God continually invests His knowledge, invests His focus on that item. And if, God forbid, one, Kadosh Baruch Hu, would take off His mind, kivyachol, for one moment, for one second, from every aspect of this world, to give it its life force, then the world would turn into tohu va-bohu, the world would turn into nothingness, it would be a total void within this world. An example that he gives, which is a powerful example, is Habriya Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation is in the hands of God, is compared to, metaphorically, Kigarzin Biyad HaKarash. It's like an instrument in the hands of the Creator, like an axe in the hands of the Creator. That Kol Shenasa Lo HaGarzin Oseh Kim HaKarash. It's not the axe that's doing anything, but rather it's the artisan who makes it. And if for one moment he would put down that axe, he would let go of it, the axe could not sustain on its own. If this is so, if the whole world is in the hands of God, if the whole world is really an instrument in God's hands, and it's not the instrument that's functioning, but rather it's the artisan, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the world, who allows the world to function. So then how are we to understand the role of man? To which he says, the role of man is really not that much, but rather Chovat HaHishtadlut Shehudla Alav Ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What man is told to do here is to put in effort, to to do that which she has to do, but the whole focus of achievement is ultimately in God's hands. And we know that if we go back to the creation story, originally when man was created, he was not created with a purpose of working. His whole focus in life was to watch the Garden of Eden. It was only after the sin that when Adam HaRishon fell, when he tried to bring physicality into the world of the spirit, then he was told, with the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Divine wisdom decided that the remedy of man was to raise himself once again, to see in his heart that nature and his illusion and that God's providence is real. And that's what life is all about. Working is just that which we have to do, but it's ultimately for us to understand that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is really running the show here and not us. That he was to do in the midst of working for his living in the world of nature. And this is one of the hardest tests. It's one of those situations where outer and inner are in conflict. His outer mode of life would conflict utterly with the truth as he was to know in his heart. His work in the physical world would, to all appearances, be the pursuit of natural cause and effect, while in his heart he would remain conscious of God's constant providence. In such a situation, there's always a grave danger that the outer action will prevail over the inner intention, and the person will end up as a materialist, a believer in nature for his own sake. He will need to summon up all of his mental and spiritual powers to remain in the world of trust and faith, as we shall explain. Explain to Rav Dessler very simply that we are in right now a world of a real challenge. It's a challenge to understand that we're living in a world where God has placed us with the responsibility of working, of each and every person doing their hishtadlus, putting in the effort that they need to put in. But the ultimate aspect of work, the ultimate aspect of the completion of the work, the ultimate person running the show and the success of the entire endeavors that a person is involved in is squarely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do our part. We're that axe. We think we act out a lot of different scenes in life. But there's somebody holding that axe, there's somebody directing the show, and we in our lives cannot fall into the pitfall of that I think that because of me I've accomplished everything, and because of my great brilliance and prowess that I've been successful, but rather to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And this, my friends, is where Shabbos comes in. Shabbos is to understand this message that God created the world and that God continues to create the world. And that's what it means that on Shabbos I should look at it as if all of my work has been completed. Reality is it hasn't been completed. You misunderstand. How do we define work? We define work as hishtadlus, as putting in effort. Work is not being able to complete anything, because the completion is never up to us. And we've discussed this in the past, and we know this to be true, that in our own lives, we can work on a project for months, and we think it's going to reach a certain conclusion, and something happens, and the whole thing gets thrown off, and it doesn't turn out the way we anticipated. The result is not up to us. What is up to us, what God wants from us, is the hishtadlus, is the effort. So if it means, therefore, for 6 days you shall work and do all of your work, what does that mean? 6 days do all of your hishtadlus. 6 days put in all of your best effort. And therefore, when Shabbos comes, you have indeed been able to say, I have done all my work, I have done all my hishtadlus. Reality is I haven't finished the project. That's irrelevant, because it's not you to finish. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finish. That's the message of Shabbos. The message of Shabbos is that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The message of Shabbos is that we are made, we are there to testify of God as the concept of creator. God as the concept of creator is not something that happened 5,751 years ago, but God as the concept of creator is something that happens presently. That God is constantly involved in my life, that God is constantly involved every moment in being able to make sure that I am successful in the endeavors that I do. And therefore, if Shabbos is to come to teach me this lesson, so every week when Shabbos comes, I remind myself that all I can do during the week is do the best effort I can do, the best ishtadlus I can do, the ultimate result is not in my hands. And therefore, when Shabbos comes, I'm able to step back and I'm able to say, I am not in control, God is in control. And that's the menucha of Shabbos. That's the tranquility. That's the rest. That's the inner peace that Shabbos brings. It's this knowledge that I have done all I can do during the course of this week, and now I need to be able to step back, to let go, and allow God to take over. This aspect of bitachon, of faith, of understanding the role of the individual vis-a-vis God, is really the message of Shabbos and the message of the man. And that's why the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Breishit, in the beginning, when God created the world, the word Breishit is really the formation of two words, Yirei Shabbat, the awe of Shabbos. Shabbos, there's an awe of Hitbatlut Gemura LaKadosh Baruch Hu, of complete nullification to God, that we understand that everything comes from God. This is the message of the man. What did the man teach the Jewish people? It was a lesson that they learned for 40 years, day in and day out. The message that they learned is God is in control of a person's livelihood. God is in control of what a person will get. A person went out to the field, out of his house, depending on what level you were on, and collected man. So let's say you wanted to collect a tremendous amount of man. You just piled the man up. And you thought, if I'm just a little bit more energetic and I just, you know, a little bit more go-getterness, I'm going to get more man and I'll have more. And the man represents clearly the sustenance, the material possessions, however you want to understand it. When you came home, you had exactly that which you need. And if a person did not put in that same effort, but God said that this is the amount that the person was going to get, the person also came in with that amount. Where God knew down to the Omer Lagul Golet, down to the exact measurement per person, how much every person needs. The message of the man is the message that God knows how to take care of every single individual. It's a very powerful message. It's a message that we've experienced in our lives, that we will have experiences where you think that this year I'm going to make a tremendous amount of money and you work really hard, and then the pipe bursts, or the car goes, or whatever it is, and you have this unexpected expense. God knows how much money we have. The man diminishes. The second lesson of the man was a lesson that you were not able to save from one day to the next day. That which you had today is what God gave you today, and that's all you were going to get. Because God is the one who provides for you every day what your needs are. And he explains the mentality of trying to think of, let me get more for today, for next year, for 20 years, for 30 years, is a mentality thinking that you are in control. In reality, it's God who's in control, and he's able to provide every single person with the needs that they have. The Jews live the message of Shabbos for 40 years, every single day of the week. The message of the man is the message that God provides. That God provides for every individual where the individual is at. The message of the man is the message of bitachon, of faith in God, that we understand that everyone is taken care of by God, that you're able to step back and allow God that position of taking care of us. Shabbos is that message for us every week, that no matter what you've done during the week, what you have to work on is your effort, and the ultimate result, ultimately, is to step back, and it's in God's hands. This is the message of Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, that God is my shepherd, I will not lack anything. It's a message of understanding that God takes care of every individual where they are at. And with this, we can explain that phrase we noted in the beginning, that every person should be Shvu Ish Tachtav, sit in your place, And Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, and one should not leave their place on Shabbat, explains the Siftei Chaim, where Kol Echad Yoshev Bimkomo V'Yismach B'Chalko. Every person should sit in their place on Shabbos and rejoice in their portion that they get from God. This is really what the Shleimus HaMenucha, the inner tranquility of Shabbos, is about. Where a person on Shabbos has to learn to say, this is what God has given me, these are the tools God has given me, this is the life situation God has given me, and I have to be Sameach B'Chalki, I have to be able to appreciate that which God has given me. And God is the one who is doeg latezotli, to give me my need. A person sitting in their place, symbolically, metaphorically, on Shabbos means a person is able to be satisfied with that which God has given them. And similarly, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo on Shabbos, you're not involved in, well, let me see what that person has, and only if I could get this, and only if I could get that. Your focus is an inward focus on Shabbos. It's a focus of being able to appreciate that which you have and not always looking over your shoulders and saying, well, how can I go get what someone else has? You don't leave your place on Shabbos. You appreciate that which you have on Shabbos. It's the inner tranquility of Shabbos. As Rebbe Tzion Jungreis notes in her book, Committed Life, Shabbos is an island of holiness in our materialistic world. But incredibly, we don't know that it exists. We run from place to place, from one vacation spot to another, trying to find some peace for our troubled hearts, some rejuvenation for our tired bodies, never realizing that all that we see can be found in Shabbos. We don't have to travel to far-off exotic places, to resorts or spas. We don't have to climb mountains or cloister ourselves in monasteries. Through the magic of Shabbat, our kitchens, our living rooms, our dining rooms, our dens, becomes islands of holiness that touch us with holiness and bring healing and new life to our souls. During the entire week, we are identified by our occupation or profession. But on Shabbat, we are ministers of God and are judged not by what we do, but rather by how we live our lives. This is the tranquility of Shabbos. It's the ability to find that menucha, to find that vacation within oneself, to be able to find that peace of mind within oneself, to be able to accept the lot that God has given an individual right now where they are in their lifetime, and to be able to appreciate it and appreciate who they are for who they are intrinsically and not by what defines them materialistically or professionally. So if we would summarize the first level of the connection between Shabbos and the man, there is this intrinsic connection that the bracha and the kedusha of Shabbos is connected to the man. Because what the man teaches us, the double portion on Friday, not falling on the Shabbat, it teaches us how God is concerned with every individual and to provide for every individual what their needs are. That's the message of Shabbos. The message of Shabbos, to be able to step back, to lift up our hands and said, we've done the shtadlus, we've done the effort during the week. God, it's in your hands. You're the borei olam, you're the creator, and I recognize that you're the force behind this world. You are the artisan that's holding that axe. You are the one who's really running the show, and I am just a piece in this larger picture. Then there's a second understanding of the connection between the man and Shabbos, which I think is also very powerful and very deep. The Nesiva Shalom notes that the beauty of the man was that it tasted like whatever you would like. It's a great food, right? Thinking about a hamburger, it tasted like a hamburger. If thinking about ice cream, it tasted like ice cream. Whatever you thought about, that's what it tasted like. And he says this is likewise true in terms of Shabbos. If a person walks in thinking about Shabbos as, oh, it's a day that I can rest from working a 6-day work week, so then Shabbos for you will be a day of physical rest. If Shabbos is a day of spiritual rejuvenation, so then you will get out of Shabbos spiritual rejuvenation. If Shabbos is a day of family, it will become a day that you'll devote to family and grow in that respect. Just like the man tasted like whatever you thought about, likewise, Shabbos takes on the characteristics, the aspects of Shabbos, says in Siva Shalom, based on what a person's mindset is about. Rav Schwab, in his Sefer Mayan Beit HaShoeva, notes a personal story that he was sitting at the table of the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal on a Friday night, and he says it was Parshas Vayakel Pekudei in the year Tuf Reish Tadi. And the Chafetz Chaim turned to the Talmidim sitting at the table, and he was talking about the man, and he said the man tasted like whatever you thought. He turned to the Talmidim, to the students, and said, what happened to an individual who wasn't thinking anything at the time? He had nothing in mind. He didn't have a particular... B'li machshava ein lo shum tam, without a thought, there is no taste. And he says, likewise, shidavar ruchani, anything spiritual, mekabel tam kifi erech, lufi erech ha-machshava, a spiritual thing gets its taste based on your mindset. And he says, for example, if a person learns Torah, and he puts his whole mind into learning, and he's focused in on this, then you know he will feel the metzikus ha-Torah, the sweetness of Torah. Rav Schwab notes that the Chafetz Chaim lifted his fingers to his mouth in a statement of how pleasant it is, how sweet it is. And that's why, indeed, we say in our Birkas HaTorah every morning, V'ha'arev na Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should make Torah sweet in our mouth. And he says, likewise, if a person sits in front of a book and he mutters words, B'li shum hit'amkut ha-machshava, ein l'limud shum tam. If he sits in front of the book without any thought, without any mindset, then the learning is not going to motivate him, the learning is not going to inspire him. Likewise, the Chafetz Chaim notes in terms of anticipating the Mashiach, if you're psychologically and emotionally ready and inspired and waiting for Geula, so Geula will mean a lot. And if you're not, so Geula will have no meaning for your life. When the redemption comes, you're not going to be able to really experience it as you could potentially experience it. This is a very powerful idea that is so true within our lives. The way we encounter, the way we set ourselves up for a spiritual experience, where our mindset is at, is the way the spiritual experience will turn out. If we walk into shul and we don't want to be inspired by the davening or by the rabbi's drasha, so we're not going to be inspired. It will be difficult to be inspired. But you walk into shul and you're open for the inspiration. You're open for the sitter to inspire you. You're open to hear one idea from the Rav's drasha that's really going to be able to be food for thought to take with you. So then you'll be successful. You'll feel that inspiration. You'll feel charged. The way we put in is what comes out. And that's the message of the man. The message of the man is, if you don't think anything, then the man is going to be tasteless. And that is indeed how the Or Gedayahu of Gedayah Shur Zatzal explains, that he says, is that you see this within the food of Shabbos itself. He says, perhaps the basic connection between Shabbos and the man is that our food, even until today, and that's why the Rashi is indeed eternal, that our food until today, and that's why we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos, has the ability to taste like man. It has the ability to taste like spiritual food. If we take our physical food on Shabbos and we put our mindset that this should be a spiritual experience, so it has the potential of turning the physical food into a spiritual experience. So before you eat the challen, you say, this will be in honor of Shabbos, for an Onik Shabbos, for the enjoyment of Shabbos. So then the challen becomes something that's an enjoyment of Shabbos. If you take a look at the challen, you say, beans, potatoes, meat. So then it's going to be bean, potato, or meat. The way we approach something is the way the result will be. We have the ability to take physical food and turn it into a spiritual experience, and turn the physical food of Shabbos into the experience of the man. But I think it goes one step deeper. I think it's not only a question that we can take the Shabbos experience, and depending on our mindset, that's how Shabbos will turn out. We could take the physical aspects of Shabbos, the food of Shabbos, and depending on our mindset, that's how it will turn out. I think it goes much deeper than that. It's really a question of the way we view ourselves on Shabbos is the way we will turn out as a result of Shabbos. Let's explain. Explains in the Siva Shalom the following. He says the bracha of Shabbos is the bracha of the koach hitzchatshus, the ability of renewal. That a person has the ability to constantly renew himself on Shabbos. Hein ben adam latzmo, whether it's between man and himself, man and God. Sheino yachol shanot v'yotav v'technutav v'chol yonei nagato b'bayit. That it's more difficult during the week to do this. On Shabbos, a person has the ability l'yitchadesh, to renew oneself and to bring a change in this area. That's the aspect of the man, of the hitchadshus dvar yom b'yomo, how the man was renewed constantly every day. It had a different shefa, had a different renewal. And that's the aspect of Shabbos. That Shabbos is the time of renewal. Shabbos is the time to look at ourselves differently. The bracha of Shabbos is the bracha of man. The bracha of the man is that we are able to have this renewal, this hitchadshus every day, that one can experience on Shabbos. It's interesting, the Menachem Mendel of Rimanov, the Hasidic Rebbe, explains on a different level. When the people saw the man, they said, "What is this?" And it was called Manhu, because they didn't know what it was. An alternate reading is, they said one to another, "Who is he?" For they did not know who he was. It wasn't a question, they didn't know what the man was. They didn't know who the individual eating the man was. Because every Israelite who partook of the manna from heaven changed so greatly in appearance that the others weren't able to recognize him. He was not the same as he had been before. And that's why Moshe says, it's the man which has taken on a new spiritual dimension. That's the power of Shabbos. The power of Shabbos is to look at ourselves on a different spiritual dimension. The power of Shabbos is the power of hitchadshus, of renewal, that we become like the man, that we ourselves become renewed, changed, and we are different, we're able to break out of the bonds of the whole week. As Rav Dessler points out, in Mechtam Eliyahu, where Shabbos brings us a sense of closeness to God, it is above time, the more a person appreciates the essence of Shabbat, the closer he is to transcending the boundaries of the everyday. If he experiences real pleasure in the realm of the spirit, no limit can be set in this progression. The real blessing of the Shabbat is the expansion of one's consciousness from preoccupation with the trivialities of this world to immersion in the spiritual world, and this is the inheritance without bounds. But I think we can even take this idea a little bit deeper in understanding. It's a beautiful line in the Sfas Emes. Sometimes in four or five words you can get across a very powerful idea. It says the Sfas Emes, when the Torah tells us, Al Yetzei Ish Vimkomo, that a person shouldn't leave his place on Shabbos, it says the Sfas Emes, Sheyesh Hitapkut L'chol Ish Yisrael B'Sharasho B'Shabbat Kodesh. Every individual is connected to his Shoresh, to his root on Shabbos Kodesh. Not leaving, going outside, means that Shabbos is a day to focus within. Shabbos is a day of renewal. Shabbos is a day of getting to know oneself. It's a beautiful Hasidic idea that we know that when the individual was created, an individual is created with two souls. The soul down here, the way it experiences life, and the twin soul up in heaven, the pristine soul, the soul of where a person can ultimately reach who the perfected person will be. We're like the lives of the puzzle pieces. The soul in heaven is the picture on the box. Life is about the two pictures meeting. Life is about when that little soul above knocks on our door during the times of Elul, Seres Mechuvah, and says, do tshuva, add some more pieces to the puzzle, pull yourself together, be able to fulfill that potential that you have. It's the Avram Avram at the Akedah, the double language by the binding of Isaac, or the Avraham of above that's met the Avraham of below. It's a Hasidic idea, which is a very powerful idea, that this soul above visits us once a week, and that's our Neshama Yisera. That's that extra soul we get on Shabbos. The extra soul on Shabbos is the extra vision of who we really can be. Shabbos is going back to our shoresh. Shabbos is going back to our root. Shabbos is going back to be able to see the box, the picture of who we can be every week. And I think on a very concrete level what this means is that Shabbos allows us to introspect and ask ourselves, what vision do we have for who we would really like to be? We know deep down that there are a lot of areas we need to work on. What is this of the, if we had to draw a vision, the blueprint of who I'd like to be, that building of who this ideal person is, that's that vision that has to accompany us, that does accompany us every Shabbat. Which means, if I know in that vision, it's a vision that doesn't get angry. So then, although I may get angry all week, and clearly one needs to work on it, but perhaps Shabbos is the time to say that image is so much closer to me, I feel that neshama yaseira. Shabbos is coming back to myself. Shabbos is the itchachos, it's the renewal of the man that fell every day. It's the bracha of the man. Shabbos is the ability to come back to who I am. Shabbos is the aspect of the man where what you think is what you taste. Shabbos is what I think about myself is what I experience. Shabbos is the time to say I won't get angry. Shabbos is the time to say that I may rush through davening, but I'll at least work on one bracha during the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. I'll say L'tilat Yadayim with Kavana on Shabbos. I'll spend more time reading to my children on Shabbos. I'll use that perfected image and every couple of weeks try to work harder on building a perfected picture that even though during the week it may not work, at least on Shabbos, I come back to my neshama yaseira, I come back to my extra soul, I come back to the deeper part of who I am. And I think, therefore, in conclusion, the connection between Shabbos and the man is two very important lessons. One, the lesson of the man is the lesson of bitachon, of faith in God, that God provides, the person who brings in more, a person who brings in less, everyone gets what they deserve, and God provides for a person on a daily moment level. Shabbos is that reminder to us that we should look at it as if our work is complete, because all we can do is do our effort in life. But ultimately, it is God who provides for a person. It's God who's going to be the one who's going to see the completion of any project. A person sits in their place on Shabbos and appreciates the gifts that God has given them, not focused in on what if I had, if only I had, if only I were, but to appreciate the island of the gift of self, of appreciation of who a person is and the relationship with God every Shabbos. On the second level, the man is the ability that whatever you thought is what you taste. That's the way you walk into Shabbos or to any spiritual experience. That's your success level. And on a deeper level, the way you view yourself on Shabbos is the way you will be on Shabbos. Shabbos is renewal. Shabbos is not leaving your place. Shabbos is the ability to come back to that neshama yaseira, to come back to that deeper part of self, that part of self that really defines who you are, and to be able to set up for oneself a model. This is the type of person I'd like to be. Let me try every Shabbos to work on a different piece of that puzzle to ultimately build that perfected puzzle.